Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, yesterday we brought you the announcement that the MBTA has named a new general manager, Luis Ramirez. He's got high-level experience at GE. He's turned around several business units there and turned around other companies after he left GE. And in the state, has been saying they're looking for someone with exactly this kind of experience to help the T. And Ramirez said yesterday that, yeah, that's him.
I keep hearing myself described as a turnaround guy, and it's true. I have been charged with improving and transforming very complicated operations.
Well, we've been digging into the turnaround at one of those companies that Luis Ramirez headed. And it turns out there's actually substantial disagreement whether that company was turned around at all. There's a lawsuit pending about this company, and the Securities and Exchange Commission is investigating. Radio Boston's Kathleen McNerney and I have been looking into this, and Kathleen's with me now. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Meghna.
Okay, so let's start off about like what we know about where Ramirez has been.
Right. So as you said, he was at GE for about a dozen years. Then in 2012, he moved over to become the CEO and president at Global Power Equipment Group. This is a Texas engineering and manufacturing firm with more than 1,000 employees. He was there from July 2012 to March 2015. And on his LinkedIn page, it says, quote, "As CEO and member of the board of directors, I led the turnaround of a global public company that had experienced declining growth and market share loss over a period of several years."
Right. So he holds it up as one of his great successes. And on his same LinkedIn page, when we were looking at it, he talks about how he turned the company around. For example, that he grew annual revenues in 2014 to $538.5 million, up just over 11% from the previous year.
Right. And when Ramirez left the company in 2015, this is where it gets a little interesting. A couple of months later, in May, the company had to notify the SEC in writing that it should not rely on its previous earnings report for 2014, the entire year, and that there were accounting errors in its financial statements, and that they were retaining outside advisors to see if reporting for other years may have been affected as well.
Okay, so this is where we're doing our digging today, Kathleen,
right?
Because, again, in March of this year, in 2017, Global Power Equipment Group refiled their financial and accounting information to the SEC for the same time period that Ramirez was CEO. And it turns out in their new filings, there are some huge differences
really
in their
good
financials. Like, for example, for 2014, that year that Ramirez talks about in his LinkedIn bio, the company is now reporting that instead of having a net income of $11 million, they actually had a net loss of $47 million, so a 500% difference in the negative direction.
Right. Really big error. So they also said that they discovered additional accounting errors for 2014, 2013, and 2012. And that the auditor's reports, shareholder communications, and other financial statements previously issued for those 3 years could no longer be relied upon.
So it gets even more interesting,
right,
as we were sort of digging around today, because that part about financial statements and shareholder communications. So first of all, Global Power Equipment Incorporated itself has recently disclosed that the SEC is investigating the company for possible securities laws violations relating to having to make these restatements. But the company also says they are fully cooperating.
Right. They also say that in May 2015, the board hired an independent special committee to review the problems and that the, quote, "the special committee did not find any intentional misconduct or fraud in connection with the preparation of the financial information to be restated."
Right. So that's important, that their own committee, their own investigation found no
intentional misconduct or fraud
for the period of time that Ramirez was there.
Right.
Right. But obviously shareholders disagree, because here's where this lawsuit comes in. So there is a class action lawsuit that's being brought on behalf of shareholders. It's been filed in a Texas district court. And this lawsuit names Luis Ramirez. Remember, he was CEO of Global Power at the time we're talking about. It names him and other executives as defendants and basically accuses them of securities violations.
Right. And we read the suit and we talked to the lawyers who are suing. They allege two things. First of all, the problems with the accounting in the company's initial SEC filings. That's one component. Here's Jeffrey Block. He's a Boston attorney who specializes in securities law, and he's representing the plaintiffs in this class action lawsuit.
We allege in the complaint that Mr. Ramirez didn't take the proper steps to correct those errors, and in fact, the company reported the financials with those errors in place.
So the important thing here is the reporting part, because remember, federal law requires a company's CEO and the CFO to sign a certificate with every quarterly and annual statement that says the reports are accurate and complete. And that company has maintained adequate internal controls. So the allegation is that Ramirez signed financial reports he knew were problematic, and that could constitute a potential misrepresentation to shareholders.
Again, these are allegations brought by plaintiffs in this case. And so the second allegation in the plaintiff's claim is that Ramirez knew, and they say he really knew all about the company's financial problems because he'd actually been told repeatedly. Again, here's plaintiff's attorney, Jeffrey Block.
Our investigation from the confidential witnesses that we spoke to, who are all people who worked at Global Power, stated to us that they informed Mr. Ramirez of a number of the accounting problems and that no steps were taken to correct those errors prior to those financial statements being released to the public.
Okay. And this lawsuit also claims that at least one of those confidential witnesses says that he or she told Ramirez explicitly, quote, there was something wrong with the financials, and that that person was fired from Global Power in January 2015. And again, they claim without cause.
Right. And we, you know, again, these are all allegations that, you know, who knows where the truth lies. But this is happening in a Texas district court. Lawyers for the company have filed a motion to dismiss the suit altogether. They argue there's no grounds for a case here. There's not enough evidence. The plaintiffs are filing their response next week, and a judge's decision on whether the case could go forward is probably months away.
And the reason why the plaintiffs have brought this case to begin with is because with those incorrect early SEC filings from 2012, 2013, 2014, many of them are saying, well, they chose to buy or sell shares, essentially, of Global Power, and that they were unable to make appropriate decisions if indeed those filings were incorrect, which they were because the company had to refile in 2017. So that's the reason why they're bringing the lawsuit.
Right. And that's, you know, sort of what's at stake for them. It's interesting because we were looking at today how unusual this was and sort of the broader context for the SEC to investigate restatements and do something like this. So I spoke with Andrew Vollmer. He used to be the Deputy General Counsel at the Securities and Exchanges Commission. He's now the Director of Law and Business Program at the University of Virginia Law School. He said, you know, companies do often have to restate their financials, but to have so many line items overstated for 4 years, so looking at the breadth and the magnitude of this, is now, he's a lawyer, so he kind of hedged it, but he said, quote, more toward the unusual end of things. So it's unusual to have this wide of a scope. And he told me, you know, that's one of the reasons the SEC might investigate or would launch an investigation. They look at how long misstatements went on for, how pervasive they were, and how the stock price was affected. And so for an investigation like this, Andrew Vollmer said generally the SEC would interview current and former employees as well as auditors and comb through company records and emails to determine intent. That's the key issue that they're trying to figure out, whether this was something innocent or more nefarious. And he said the intent could really be a range.
Yes, you can have innocent mistakes that go on for some periods of time, several years. People might think that they're following the correct accounting rule and then find out that they were wrong. But it might be perfectly innocent. Now, that's not a typical example, but it is a possibility.
Now, we did reach out to Luis Ramirez's lawyer and to attorneys for Global Power Equipment. They haven't returned our calls, but the company did send a statement to the Boston Globe because, you know, Luis Ramirez did resign. He left the company just a couple of months before all this refiling had to happen. And they sent a statement to the Globe saying that Ramirez's resignation was not related to those problems, but they declined to comment further on the circumstances of his departure.
Right. We also reached out to the governor's office, MassDOT, and the MBTA. They all referred us back to the T, and the spokesperson there answered our questions. He said the T was well aware of the lawsuit and that they cannot comment on unfounded allegations. He spoke about the long vetting process and said that that when they found out about the case, it didn't give them pause because, quote, this was a months-long process that provided ample time for vetting the candidate. During the extensive process, nothing was found that would preclude the MBTA from making an offer to the candidate. The court system is overloaded with business-related disputes such as this one.
The T also added that they have absolutely no concerns about Ramirez's ability to do the job while this case is pending. And the spokesperson referred us back to what Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack said yesterday about Ramirez when she announced his appointment.
What we wanted was a successful and a seasoned executive with a proven track record at leading complex organizations through transformation and change.
And they also pointed us to the secretary's written statement, which includes that his, quote, proven leadership skills make Luis the right person to lead the MBTA as it continues to become the world-class transit agency our riders expect and deserve.
Right. And that's why it's important to point out, you know, Ramirez's time at Global Power Equipment Group is just one part of his resume. This case could get thrown out. The SEC could find that there was no fraud. They could find that there were just minor violations. They could find nothing intentional was done wrong. So all of that has yet to be determined, and we'll be watching it closely.
Right. But it's all part of this very complex question, which has seized us, Kathleen, about exactly what turnaround means for companies and the companies that Luis Ramirez says he's turned around, how that turnaround is measured, and how those lessons can be applied to the T. So we'll keep taking a look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Radio Boston's Kathleen McNerney, thank you so much.
Thank you, Megna.
We'll be back. I'm Megna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.